ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like you, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 216 of the report, and right now we're rocking out to that Dirty Mac Joe, man. Easy, rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, y'all. We are chilling out here on this Tuesday night. Going through the work week, man. Like, really slow, man. It's only Tuesday. It just seemed like shit ain't moving fast enough for me, man. We need to get back here quick. Real quick, man. Real talk. But, yeah, we are chilling out here on this, again, like I said, Tuesday night. And we're podcasting. And we got shit to talk about the whole nine. And, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Spann Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit us up at the area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll play them here live on the show and respond in kind to you here. And if you're watching the show live here on Crowdcast, man, you can also be put on the show live, man. So go ahead and call that hotline at area code 313-288-0485 and get your voice heard here, right? Also, hit us up on the email at feedback@thespannreport.com. That's feedback@thespannreport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here live here on the Spann Report Podcast as well. Hit us up on YouTube, man. We're posting videos on YouTube, clips of the show of not only the Spann Report Podcast, but the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Go ahead and hit up the YouTube channel, man. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Leave comments on the YouTube channel. Those comments will also get read here on the show. Some of them, not all of them, you know. And it usually it's like 1 week. If we put it up within a week, if you get it in there on a week, we'll read those here live on the show, right? Also, man, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Spann. So go ahead and follow your boy throughout the week, and we can chop it up, man. Real talk. Hit us up on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man. Those 5-star reviews are very much appreciated. We really do love everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Say whatever the fuck it is you want to say about us, but leave that 5-star review and you'll get read here live on the show. And for all of your Spann Report needs, go to www.thespannreport.com. And watch the show, watch replays of the show there. You can vote in the polls there. You can leave comments there. You can hook yourself up with some merch. Everything's available there at thespannreport.com. So go there for your Spann Report needs, man. All of them. And this dude, Joe, will not shut up. He just keeps singing and shit. Just keep singing. Like, hey, man, technology never working the way you want it to, right? But yeah, man, I'm chilling out here, man. Just got a lot going on, man. Real talk, like, man, like, just, I don't know, you ever feel like you just, like, kind of in a funk? And I've been feeling like I'm just, like, in a funk lately, and I don't really know why. I can't really put my finger on it, man. I don't know if it's, you know, like, everything that's going on in the world, man, it just kind of got me, like, down and shit. But, yo, I've been, your man Span been in a little bit of a funk, man. We were supposed to do a Beer Chicken podcast show. What was that? Well, we usually do this shit Sunday. Couldn't do it Sunday. We ended up pushing it back to Monday, and then I got tied up at work. So we couldn't do that, but we will be on the mics again for the Beer and Chicken podcast this coming Sunday. We will have all, I hope we have everybody, me, Cliff, and the homeboy Walt, man, real talk. But yeah, man, I've been in a little bit of a funk, you know, and I can't really quite put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, but, you know, I guess when you, you know, it's one of those things, man, when you're aware of what the fuck is going on, sometimes it can put you in a little funky mood, man. So sometimes you really have to do a little bit of self-care, man. Not really, you may have to unplug. I may have to unplug for a minute, man, real talk, because some of this shit is just depressing, right? Some of this shit is absolutely depressing. And, you know, sometimes you do have to do a bit of that self-care, man. Just kind of pull yourself away from everything, because it can wear on you, man. The social media, the news and everything, it can wear on you. And sometimes you may have to pull away just a little bit, right? But, yeah, man, we're going to get into this show, man. We got a lot to talk about. There's been a lot going on. And I got this little random thing I kind of wanted to talk about, man. You know, sometimes, you know, when you, like, you do, like, what I do a little bit, when you speak a lot, like, sometimes you wish you were on and sometimes you're not on, right? So one of those moments where I wish I was, like, kind of on, where, like, I was just, and I was on my shit, was there was some Jehovah's Witnesses that showed up at the crib, right? Sunday. There was some Jehovah's Witnesses that showed up at the crib. Now, you know, mind you, I'm not really, I'm not the most spiritual person in the world. I'm not heavily religious or anything. I do believe in a higher power. I do believe in God, man. But I'm not the most religious. And, you know, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, man, you know, I know a lot of them are really nice people. Really nice people. I know they, you know, they get doors slammed in their face all the time and whatnot. And it just so happened that they caught me on a good day, man. Like the Jehovah's Witnesses caught me this Sunday, man. I was standing right by my door, as a matter of fact, when they rang my doorbell. And generally, you know, I got the Ring doorbell so I can see who's at my door before I ever open it. And, you know, like I didn't even bother to look at my phone to see who was at the door. And I could, like, my wife was like in the back and she was like, "Babe, no!" But it was too late. I'd already opened the door. Right. And it was this nice looking, you know, just like nice older white couple and stuff. And they're standing in front of my door and whatnot, man. And they're talking to me about marriage, man. You know, they were talking about the, you know, the breakdown of the family. And, you know, wouldn't marriage be so much more better if, you know, women respected their husbands and husbands respected their wives? And I'm like, well, that sounds like some common sense shit. But it was one of those moments where I kind of wish like I was on, where I just started to, like, to troll them a little bit, man. Like, you know, like real talk, like I'm a feminist, you know, and I know a lot of our, you know, a lot of our women, a lot of women actually stayed in those marriages because, you know, they really couldn't leave. You know what I'm saying? Like society wouldn't allow them to leave. They were staying in marriages that they really didn't want to be in. And just to see the reaction on the faces of those two while they were standing on my porch, it's crazy. Like how they go about that, like the whole proselytizing thing, man. I know folks really aren't about that, man. And I entertain the conversation only to be polite. But for the most part, and they, when they ask me what I like for them to come back, all like, actually, I would prefer you didn't. But, you know, just have a good day. You know what I mean? But I just kind of wish I was on, man. It'd have been a hell of a lot more entertaining and a hell of a lot better story to tell y'all if I'd been on. Right. So, yeah, man, that's going on. But, yo, it hasn't been a lot going on in my life, man. Like, real talk, just work and more work, man. Doing, like, you know, typical gas shit, gas elevation, pressure elevations and stuff like that, man. I had a training day today, man. I didn't even have to go out into the field, man. I spent most of the day in the classroom just making sure I was up on my shit. You know, that's it. You know, not a whole lot, man. But we're going to get right into the show, man. Enough of the rigmarole, right? Enough of the rigmarole. We're going to get right into the show. And one of the first things we're going to do is we're going to hit up our one of our favorite segments, man. I love this segment. Blue Blazes, y'all.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right. So We got a bit of an update in Blue Blazers, y'all. A bit of an update. Now, I know last week I talked to you guys about the fact that there was a couple guys in Detroit who had managed to hack into a gas pump, and they stole over 600 gallons of gas from a Detroit gas station. The gas station attendant couldn't even stop the pumps, and they were getting all the gas up out of that bitch, right? So, yo, man, they done caught the two motherfuckers who was responsible for doing that. Yeah, man. So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of MLive.com. It said that the two men are suspected of hacking into a pump in the Detroit gas station and stealing nearly 600 gallons of gasoline during the afternoon of June 23rd. Investigators say that Damon Blocker, 29, and Reginald Holly, 34, both of Detroit, managed to override the gas station software, making it possible for customers to fill up and drive off without paying. While still at the gas station, the defendants sold and accepted cash for the gas. The Wayne County Prosecutor's Office said in a charging statement Thursday, July 12th, once this was discovered, the attendants at the gas station attempted to disable the pump by computer. The attempt was unsuccessful, and eventually the attendants had to activate an emergency shutoff, disabling all the pumps at the station. The men left the station and were later arrested by Detroit police. The value of the gasoline stolen is approximately $1,800. So check this out, man. Detroit police was all over this one. All over this one. And with the cameras, man, like, real talk, like, guys are becoming so much more brazen in their criminality, man. They're not even covering their faces anymore. With the HD cameras that are being installed everywhere, it's hard for you not to be found, man, unless you got a mask on, unless you got something to obscure something on your face or whatnot, and you're not driving your car or something. Like, yo, man, you're gonna get caught. You're going to get caught, because you know what? The minute they put your face on TV, somebody on TV like, oh, yeah, I know them motherfuckers. Them motherfuckers stay down the street. I need that $1,000 too, nigga. My damn light bill due right now. Let me go ahead and call this motherfucking number and get this quick $1,000 real quick. So, yeah, man, they caught the gas, the gas pump, what would we call them? The gas pump capers or some shit like that. I guess that's what you would call it. I don't know. But, yeah, man, they caught the motherfuckers, man. Real talk. So, yeah, shout out to the Detroit police for doing their goddamn jobs, right? So, shout out to them, right? Another story, man. This is actually kind of wild. Another story. There was a man who found out that his wife was cheating on him, right? But it's the way that he found out that's kind of fucked up, right? So, let me see if I can find this because... And I know I got it in here somewhere. Here it is. All right. So this story here comes out of NBCWashington.com, right? It says a New Jersey man finds his wife dead mid-tryst with a mechanic. Mechanic was in there giving her the business. He was really beating the brakes off, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? So here we're going to read the story here. It says a man returned to his New Jersey home Monday night to find both of his wife and her lover dead in the garage after the pair apparently died of carbon monoxide poisoning while having sex. Law enforcement sources tell NBC4 New York. The 39-year-old woman and her 56-year-old lover, who sources believe was her mechanic, were discovered just before 9 p.m. Monday at a new house in Newark. Sources say that the wife and the mechanic were having sex in a car in the garage while they were both killed by the poison gas. The husband came home later to discover their bodies. Law enforcement sources said they believe the wife was paying for her car. Wait, they believe that she was paying for her car work by having sex with the mechanic. Newark police confirmed it was called to the avenue about 8:45 p.m. Monday. When officers arrived, they found that the pair inside a running vehicle in a closed garage. They were both pronounced dead. Police said the incident was under investigation but appeared to be an accident. Now, tragic situation for all involved, right? But, he's supposed to be the mechanic. And he wasn't aware that by leaving the car running in the garage enclosed could possibly result in neither one of them walking out of that alive. Were they really that enthralled in the sexual passion of transactional sex that they just couldn't pull away? You know, that's the one thing that like kind of stuck out to me. Like, yo, man, the mechanic didn't know no better. He was so focused on what was going on with the sex that he didn't know no better. They didn't think to crack the garage. They didn't think to like get a room somewhere. And then on top of that, for her husband to find her, man, that's a really, really fucked up way to find out that your wife had been cheating on you or may have been cheating on you. Is like, yo, man, you find her dead on top of the mechanic, butt naked or like in the throes of it. They just sleep or something. Well, it looked like they just sleep or something. Really fucked up story, man. Really fucked up way to find out that your wife is stepping out on you, man. It's like, it makes me think of my granddaddy's old song, Who's Making Love to Your Old Lady While You Was Out Making Love, man. Like, you know, Jody got your girl and gone the whole shebang. Like, yo, man. Yeah, that's really fucked up. Really fucked up. Man finds his wife having sex with the mechanic and both of them pass away in the throes of it, man. Like, yeah, that's pretty fucked up. That's the Blue Blazers moment, real talk. Another story, man, that's going on, and this is actually kind of wild too, man. Yo, y'all got to see this, man. Let me pull this dude up, man. Y'all got to see this. Let me pull a put this up in the chat room so you guys can see this also. Let me screen share this. So, oh my God, this dude, the look on this dude's face is priceless, man. Yo, there was a man, a Miami man with no arms, charged with stabbing Chicago tourists, y'all. Look at this dude. Look at this dude, man. This guy looks as if he like, I don't give a fuck. As a matter of fact, we got to figure out how the hell he did this, right? So we're gonna read this story. This comes out of FoxBaltimore.com. It says a homeless South Florida man with no arms has been charged with stabbing a Chicago tourist. Miami Beach police say that 46-year-old Jonathan Crenshaw held a pair of scissors with his feet and stabbed 22-year-old Cesar Coronado just after midnight early Tuesday. The Miami Herald reports that Crenshaw is a popular fixture in the area known for painting on canvases along the trendy spot in South Beach. According to the arrest report, Crenshaw says that he was laying down when Coronado approached him and punched him in the head. Police say that Crenshaw stabbed Coronado twice and fled. How? How, man? It says a friend who was traveling with Coronado said they asked Crenshaw for directions when he simply jumped up and stabbed Coronado in his arm. He was taken to the hospital. Crenshaw has been charged with aggravated battery, man. How do you explain that one, though? Like, how do you explain getting stabbed twice by a man with no arms? Like, how do you do that? Like, like, yo, man, so you just stood there, let him do it? Like, how does he even get the knife, like, in his, like, you know, the grip? How does that even work? How does that even work? Like, I know that, you know, when you don't have, you know, your arms or whatever, and, you know, they learn how to do fascinating things, man. Like, people learn how to paint. They learn how to draw, write their names, the whole shebang. But, like, yo, how do you stand there and let a dude with no arms get a knife out to stab you with it and not drop it and actually have enough force behind it to break, you know, to break skin in the whole nine, man? I don't know how you do that. How do you allow an armless man to stab you a couple times, man? That's crazy. But that has been Blue Blazers, y'all.
What in blue blazes is going on out here? Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right. So we are going from our blue blazes, but y'all know there's been a lot of shit happening in the news. So y'all know what we got to do, y'all. All right, so the first story we got in the news, man, this has actually been one of the things that everybody's been talking about over the course of the last, I don't know, 24 hours, is that Donald Trump pretty much sided with Russia and denying that Russia had anything to do with the 2016 elections and whether or not Russia's meddled into those damn elections. I'm going to watch this video here. This is actually from the press conference of Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin and I think it's Helsinki, Finland. And they're talking about the possibility of the Russians interfering in the elections. Here
once again.
Wait, let me get it to the right where I needed to be. Where was it? Where was it? Here we...
This meeting I had...
Here we go.
And President Putin may very well want to address it. And very strongly, because he feels very strongly about it, and he has an interesting idea. To say it one time again, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with. There was no collusion with the campaign. And every time you hear all of these, you know, 12 and 14, It's stuff that has nothing to do. And frankly, they admit these are not people involved in the campaign. But to the average reader out there, they're saying, well, maybe that does. It doesn't. I think that the.
Okay, hold on. Let me stop this right here. One of the interesting things about this is before he was even elected, he had been briefed on the Russian meddling into the 2016 election, that they were trying to influence the 2016 election before he was ever elected, right? Both he and Hillary Clinton were given this briefing. Excuse me. We also know that then President Barack Obama warned the Russian government to stop trying to meddle into the 2016 elections, right? Without, you know, otherwise there would be consequences behind that. And that ended up being in the expulsion of Russian diplomats, that ended up being sanctions being leveled down onto the Russian government. so there were some actions taken. Just a lot of folks really feel like, yo, man, Barack Obama didn't do enough. But what we also know is that there was that Barack Obama at the time wanted to, that he wanted to alert the American people that, yo, the Russian, there has been Russian influences into our election. They've been hacking the DNC and everything else. And at the, what's the dude's name? Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is the Senate majority leader. He pretty much like put the kibosh on that. Like, yo, man, if you do that, you're pretty much trying to unduly influence the election. You're biasing the election towards the Democratic candidate. And, you know, that's how we'll play this. Right. So in a sense, Mitch McConnell kind of chose partisanship over country in that moment, in much the same way that he did when Barack Obama was first elected, when he said we were trying to make this dude a one term president and they weren't successful in that. But they were successful in obstructing a lot of the things that Barack Obama wanted to do when they were able to take control of the House and the Senate in 2016, I believe it was 2014. No. I'm sorry. 2010. It was 2010. Right. So, yeah, man, like there were signs of this ever before the election. Right. And what Donald Trump sees in this is a delegitimized, like he looks at the fact that there has been Russian meddling, and all the intelligence agencies are saying that there was Russian meddling in the 2016 election. He looks at this as a way of delegitimizing his win. Right. That, yo, if this is true, then I'm not legitimately the president. And I would say so, right? I'm not a very big fan of Donald Trump. Y'all know how I feel about that motherfucker here. But this is how he looks at it. So at every turn, when you see Donald Trump in public talking about the Russian hacking that went into the 2016 election, and he talks about there being no collusion, all Donald Trump is doing right now is trying to preserve his ego and say that, like, yo, I am legitimately the president of the United States. That's what he's doing. So he's discounting his own intelligence agencies, CIA, FBI, NSA, and all the other alphabet boys. He's distancing himself from his own intelligence agencies while at the same time picking the side of a foreign adversary who sought to influence the election in their favor by not having Hillary Clinton in the office, right? So every time he talks about this, he can never bring himself to say that there was actually hacking into the 2016 election and it may have helped me get into office, because truth be told, I want to see myself as a legitimate president of the United States, and there's a vast number of people in my own country who don't see me that way. And it's part of the reason why I believe he governs the way that he does, where he only caters to the people who are really his hardcore supporters, because most people in America really just like, man, fuck this dude. His approval ratings have never gone over 44% in this country, right? So that's why he keeps saying that. But there's a little bit more here.
The probe is a disaster for our country. I think it's kept us apart. It's kept us separated. There was no collusion at all. Everybody knows it. People are being brought out to the fore. So far that I know, virtually none of it related to the campaign. And they're going to have to try really hard to find somebody that did relate to the campaign. That was a clean campaign. Zero.
Hold on. His national security advisor, Michael Flynn, has pled guilty. His campaign manager, Paul Manafort, is in federal prison right now, not only for witness tampering, but also for his involvement with Russian, with the Russian Federation while he was a campaign manager of the Trump White House campaign or presidential campaign. So he keeps saying like there was no collusion, there was no connection to my campaign. It was a clean campaign. Like, yo, man, you got one dude in jail and one dude is pled guilty. What are you talking about? And these were senior members of your campaign. What are you talking about? It just makes no sense because, again, we see, it's like, don't you know we can see you? We see all of this, man, but he continues this lie, man.
Zero collusion, and it has had a negative impact upon the relationship of the two largest nuclear powers in the world. We have 90% of nuclear power between the two countries. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what's going on with the probe.
Yeah, so the investigation into what's going on in the 2016 election and the attack on the country as far as having a foreign entity influence our election, that is the problem, not the actual people who may be responsible for said problem. Only because we need to save your ego. But that's the dude that, you know, 53% of white people, well, 53% of white women voted for. That's white supremacy in some spaces, man, is like, yo, you will be treasonous to your own country in order to hold on to your hierarchy as far as white supremacy is concerned. So yeah, man, that's going on. That's part of the news. Another story that's going on here in the news, man. Yo, we always talk about how we respect the troops. You know, we want to thank them for their service. You know, they're volunteer servicemen. They don't have to go. And sometimes, man, the people who do go and fight on behalf of this nation, they're not even citizens of this nation. Sometimes they're immigrants. And right now, the United States government, the United States Army, is discharging immigrant fighters after they had already promised them citizenship. So let's check this out. We're getting this from NPR. And this story says, this photo provided by the AP by Panshu Zhao shows Zhao in a uniform on February 11th at the U.S. Army Reserve installation in Houston. Zhao is one of dozens of immigrant military recruits and reservists who have been waiting for years to deploy but were recently discharged with little explanation. Panshu Zhao moved to the United States from Canada from China about 8 years ago to study. It was the culmination of a lifelong dream. Since then, he has completed a graduate degree and is now pursuing a doctorate in geography at Texas A&M University. In describing his life to NPR Steve Inskeep and on Friday, he divided it into two parts, his life in China and his American life. The latter includes regular attendance at a Christian church and a deep respect for the military. So deep, in fact, that in 2016, he enlisted and has been serving in the Army Reserve while awaiting orders for full-time training. But Zhao recently found himself among dozens of immigrant recruits who joined the military through a special Defense Department program promising to an expedited path to citizenship, but then were abruptly discharged with little to no explanation. Let's see, and this goes into a podcast, so we got a little bit of the transcript from that. It says, according to the Associated Press, about 40 enlistees, reservists, and active duty recruits, all in the U.S. legally, have been waiting for years to be cleared for duty before being told in recent weeks that they are not eligible to serve in the U.S. military. And for many, the rejection has thrown their immigration status into limbo. This is a whole disaster, Zhao told NPR. The devastating news was delivered by his recruiter, who told him Zhao said that for unspecified reasons he had failed a background check. He said the recruiter told me that I can't be a soldier anymore without telling me specifically why and even not giving me a chance to appeal. The Pentagon has denied any changes in policy. In a statement Friday, Cynthia O. Smith, the Department of the Army spokeswoman, said that all recruits are recruited to undergo a suitability review as part of the military ascension process. And one aspect of that review is a security screening. A non-U.S. citizen recruit who receives an unfavorable security screening is deemed unsuitable for military service and administratively discharged, his statement said. Among the qualities that might make a potential enlistee under the program unsuitable are a criminal record, dishonesty, or questions about character. Smith said the length of time for reviews vary and is dependent upon each recruit's individualized suitability review and a person's unique background. The immigrants who were recently discharged had all signed up as part of the Military Ascension's Vital to the Nation's Interest, or MAVNI, program. It was established in 2009 to create an opportunity for the military to enlist people with specialized knowledge, including highly sought-after language and medical skills. Now, as we deal with the attitudes in this country about people coming over here from different countries, whether that be mainly from the South, whether that be our Latin brothers and sisters from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, a lot of Central American countries. And not only that, just like Muslims and Africans, and they come over to this country. A lot of these folks coming over to this country to pursue what all of us say is the American dream. And some of us say we want the American dream, and we're not, like, a lot of us ain't willing to go fight for it, right? Like, I'm one of those people, like, yo, man, there's so much that this country has done to people who look like me that I really don't feel compelled to go and sign up for military service. Not that I knock anybody who does, but for me personally, not, that's just not what I'm about to do, right? So for somebody who's willing to go that extra mile and become a part of this country, to go and fight and risk their life on behalf of this country, you have to wonder why all of a sudden that this becomes a thing where, yo, we have to make sure that we get some of these people up out of here with no explanation whatsoever, no recourse for appeal. They didn't pass some screening after you've already allowed for them to be a part of the Army Reserves and they're getting the training and everything else. It really doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense for people who are willing to come over to this country, be a part of this country, fight for this country, risk their lives for this country, and yet this is the slap in the face that they get. Because the attitude of people, the attitude that we have in this country now, we're like, yo, even the people who have on the uniform, and black people know this all too well, man, when we saw black people being lynched and assaulted in their uniform in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 20s and teens. Like, this isn't new for America. It's just unfortunate that in 2018, this is a thing that's still happening. Not to the degree that we were finding people lynched in the streets or assaulted or anything else. But, yo, people who are willing to go and fight for this country and you're telling them that they can't because of some background check that you can't really explain to the recruit who's trying to fight on behalf of this country. It really makes a hell of a lot of no sense whatsoever. But that's going on in the news, man. Another story that's going on in the news. Democratic lawmakers are trying to figure out a way to ban the gay and trans panic legal defense. Okay, now for those of you who are not aware of what the gay and transsexual panic defense is, it's like we've been seeing a lot of cases, excuse me, where there have been men mainly who were involved in sexual activity with either a gay person, another gay person, or a transsexual person, or transgender person. And they would act as if they were shocked by whom they were engaged in this activity with. And in order to either save face or not confront their own sexuality or their own attractions, they would kill the person with whom they had engaged in the sexual activity with. And then they would use this as a defense. Well, I didn't know and I panicked and therefore I killed this person. And folks were getting off. So gay and transgender people were being victimized by their male lovers, pretty much. And they were getting off. They were getting away with it, right? So this we're going to read this story here. This comes out of the Huffington Post. It says the two Democratic lawmakers from Massachusetts want to end a controversial legal defense in which a criminal defendant claims violence against LGBTQ people was justified because of panic about the victim's sexual identity or orientation. Senator Edward Markey of Massachusetts and Representative Joe Kennedy of Massachusetts introduced the Gay and Trans Panic Defense Prohibition Act of 2018. This month, proposing to end gay and trans panic legal defenses in federal court. The defenses characterize sexual orientation and gender identity as objectively reasonable excuses for loss of self-control and thereby illegitimately mitigate the responsibility of a perpetrator for harm done to LGBT individuals, the bill says. The controversial defense has become rarer as LGBTQ rights and protections have advanced and has been banned in state courts in California and Illinois. Federal courts, however, still allow defendants to assert the claim. The new legislation argues that such defenses seek to completely excuse crimes such as murder and assault on the grounds that the sexual orientation or gender identity of the victim is provocation enough for the violent reaction of the defendant. And as say, for instance, you know, like if somebody was to have sex with you as a black person, right? You're a black person, you have sex with a white woman, you may be passing. Well, they didn't really think to ask you much about your family life, right? They even also maybe even assume that you may have been like a white, you know, a white individual, maybe a little bit tanned or something like that. And then they, you have a sexual encounter with this person and they find out that like, yo, this is a black person that I was having sex with. And they decide that, yo, I'm going to stab the shit out of you because I didn't want to have sex with a nigger. Right? And then they get off with that. That's the equivalent of what's been going on with the gay panic and trans panic arguments, legal defenses that that attorneys have been able to use in order to get killers and, you know, assaulters off. Meanwhile, the LGBT community, LGBTQ community has been under assault because of it. Because, you know, if people feel like they can kill you and not be punished for it, like, guess what? More of it's going to happen. And so we've been seeing, you know, they haven't been as frequent as they used to be. But we've been seeing cases where folks are getting off while assaulting and while killing LGBT people while claiming that they didn't know what the hell was going on, which was bullshit for the most part. It has always been bullshit. So kudos. Kudos to both Joe Kennedy and Edward Markey for bringing this legislation forth. Hopefully this passes the House. Hopefully this gets past the Senate. And hopefully the Trump puppet, Putin puppet in the White House is will put his signature to it and sign this into law. But yeah, man, that has been our news. All right, so we are in another segment, and this is actually becoming more and more of a thing. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Okay, shut up. Shit. It's proud to be in American time, y'all. And of course, this has become a segment of ironic fucking patriotism. Right? That's pretty much what this segment is. Ironic patriotism. And so in today's edition of Proud to Be an American, man, we were talking a little bit earlier about Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin having a summit in Helsinki, Finland, and Donald Trump pretty much capitulating his position to Vladimir Putin and taking the side of the Russians over his own intelligence agencies as to whether or not the Russians interfered in the elections in 2016. And there was this one lady who called into C-SPAN. C-SPAN is, of course, a really political public service channel, pretty much. They cover all of the governmental procedural stuff in the House and the Senate. They cover like a lot of the like the hearings and things like that. A lot of people, you know, sit up and watch it, and they'll call into some of these shows, right? And this one lady, she called in to C-SPAN only. She did this only to thank the Russians for interfering in the 2016 election.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, that happened. So check this out, man. We're going to pull this up. Let me pull this the screen up so you guys can hear, you know, watch this here along with me here in the chat room. Where is it? All right. So here we go. Check this out, y'all.
In Newington, Connecticut, line for independence. Mary Lou, good morning.
Good morning. I'll try not to sound too awful, but I want to thank the Russians for interfering with our election to stop Hillary Clinton from becoming president. That woman has got illusions of grandeur, and so hasn't her husband.
She voted for a dude who sits on gold toilets, gold faceted fucking sinks, and it's Hillary Clinton that has illusions of grandeur.
That man, the whole time he was in the White House, was just fooling around sexually with Monica Lewinsky. He is an accused rapist.
So was the guy that you voted for. Also a guy who openly bragged about grabbing pussies and kissing women because he couldn't help himself, moving on her like a bitch, the whole nine, man. Like, but she's going way back into 1996 to talk about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. Meanwhile, the current dude is accused of many of the same things that she's mad at Bill Clinton about.
He has never denied it. And his wife never did anything to stop him from doing that.
Mary Lou, let me...
Okay, now another thing, too. It's interesting how it's Hillary Clinton's fault that Bill Clinton was out here being a dick, right? Apparently, the wife of the husband who's cheating on her is at fault for her husband cheating on her, not the husband who's actually out here executing these dirty deeds. It's her fault. It's amazing how that mental gymnastics works, right?
Do you think Russian interference was the reason that President Trump won in 2016?
Yes, because the Russians interfered. I mean, what would we do with Hillary in that White House? That woman, she doesn't know what she was doing. What a mess she made of Benghazi. What she did with those emails to put a server in her living room or wherever she put it.
This reminds me a lot of that moment in, I believe, 2008, when there was an older lady who was speaking with John McCain, and she talked about Barack Obama being a Muslim and he's not from here. And John McCain had to stop that lady in that rally and say, you know, that Barack Obama is a fine man that I have some disagreements with, but he's an American citizen. He's Christian. And the attitude that Hillary Clinton as a woman doesn't know what she's doing, that Hillary Clinton alone is responsible for Benghazi, that she's grateful that a foreign entity interfere into the election so that the person whom she wants to be president is installed as president, totally negating the entire government if that's what it is, right? Totally making your government almost illegitimate. But this is the level of hate that they had, not only for Hillary Clinton as a woman, Hillary Clinton as a presidential candidate, but also their irrationality in the entire process. It's amazing the cognitive dissonance that goes on in these circles, man. It's crazy that that's what's going on. But a Trump supporter actively, this is new though, because, you know, not necessarily new, right? Because before they were talking about, yo, man, there was no Russian collusion, man. And then they start having these meetings like, well, they only met and they talked about adoption. And then like, well, it wasn't about adoption. It was like, well, it was only like five of them. You know, it wasn't as many as y'all said it was. And then all these people started getting indicted. Now, I think 12 people got indicted. 12 Russians got indicted just this week. Well, like, you know, it was, you know, shit. Well, thank you for the Russians. You know what I'm saying? They went from there was no collusion, there was no Russian involvement, to thank you for the Russians for getting involved in this shit and getting us Donald Trump as opposed to Hillary Clinton. Man, it's crazy how this shit is going, right? Another story, man, is going on and proud to be an American. A Capitol Hill intern says that his MAGA hat got him refused service from Uber drivers, man. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of splinternews.com. It says a Capitol Hill intern interviewed by Fox 5, the local Washington, D.C. news Fox News affiliate, says that he and his colleagues were denied service by an Uber driver this week after the driver questioned them about their Make America Great Again hats. According to the intern, Matthew Handy, he and a group of other interns headed to Trump International Hotel, hailed an Uber near George Washington University. When the driver saw that the interns were holding MAGA hats, he refused to drive them. He's like, is that a Make America Great Again hat? Handy told Fox 5. We're like, yes, sir, it is. He said, well, I can't do this ride. Oh, man. It says, Handy says the group was not being obnoxious or pushy, whatever that means, and should have been taken to the destination. He wasn't charged for the ride, but he demanded an Uber fire the driver and apologize. We also want a statement acknowledging that he's been terminated because not only did he break Uber's laws, he broke DC law, Handy said, because you cannot discriminate because of somebody's political beliefs. Uber responded with a statement to Fox 5 saying, "We aim to provide a reliable service to everyone who uses Uber. We have reached out to both the rider and the driver and continue to look into this." The incident comes not long after another altercation involving a MAGA hat, when a man in Texas was arrested after stealing the hat from a teenager at a Whataburger restaurant and throwing a drink in his face on video. We can only imagine that if these kinds of incidents continue, Trump supporters will start arguing that they should be made a protected class. Oh, wait, they already are. Now, you know, it's hard for me to feel sorry for people who openly talked about and supported policies of discrimination and of exclusion as a part of their political platform, right? You have to remember, we just had a case in the Supreme Court where the Supreme Court ruled that a baker doesn't have to bake a cake for gay couples for their wedding. We remember Kimberly Davis, who was a clerk in Kentucky, who refused to issue marriage licenses for gay couples in Kentucky. And was used as like a, she was praised as like a hero, a conservative hero. You know what I mean? Like, she got a chance to meet the Pope. Mike Huckabee, Sarah Huckabee Sanders' daddy was like parading around with this lady. Like, they treated her like as if she was like a martyr. Really, all she had to do was her job, right? That's all most folks were asking for on the left, right? Hey man, just do your fucking job. And a lot of Republicans are like, well, this is America, and you got the right to refuse service to anyone. You don't have to serve anyone, goddammit. This is America. I don't have to do shit. It's my First Amendment right. Right? And then it flips on you. Your personal, your political beliefs are now being turned around and used against you. And they're only pissed off because they didn't see these sorts of things happening to them. It was only supposed to happen to these other people. It was never supposed to happen to them. And so now they're doing some of the same things, calling for some of the same actions that they would accuse badass social justice warriors of doing. Hey, this person should be fired for this. This person should lose their job. I need an apology. This needs to be made right. They're doing the exact same thing. So although I'm not like, I'm not necessarily condoning what the fuck the Uber driver did, I just understand. I know me, I personally wouldn't let a motherfucker wear a MAGA hat riding my ride. If it was my ride, nah, man, take that shit off. As a matter of fact, throw that shit on the ground. You can't get in my car with that shit on. Fuck you. But I'm not representing Uber. I'm just only representing me. But still, man, that's the thing, man. Like, not only that, man, it's not as if you can't, like, just go and buy yourself another MAGA hat, right? I'm pretty sure they're not that expensive. They look really fucking cheap anyway. Right? They look really fucking cheap. But yeah, man, you didn't get a ride. Welcome to what it feels like on the other side, right? Welcome to what it feels like on the other motherfucking side. Another story, man. And this story here, man, listen, I'm gonna need white people to do a little bit better. Some of my white people, man, y'all gotta do better. There was this another story of yet another white person who called the police on a customer. Well, this time it was a customer. They called the police on a black person, and they treated the police as if they were customer service, right? So we got this story here. This comes out of abcnews.com. As a matter of fact, let me do my screen share thingy again so y'all can check this out with your boy. Yeah, Angie, it's real sad that they think that shit. Real talk. Let me pull this up, though. Here we go. So a CVS worker calls the police over a coupon dispute with a black customer. Let's unmute this so you guys
suddenly
can
hear calling 911. Here's a outrage at CVS, a black customer with a coupon, and then the worker suddenly calling 911. Here's ABC's Paula Ferris.
The video now viral.
It's a female.
Recorded by Camilla Hudson, who was trying to use this manufacturer's coupon at a Chicago CVS. According to Hudson,
he shook like a motherfucker, literally.
M-O-R-R-Y. Matson,
M-A-T-S-O-N. Thinks it's fraudulent. Matson calling the cops on Hudson.
African-American.
Black. No, I'm not African-American. I'm black.
Hudson says three Chicago police officers show up and ask her to leave the premises.
So I drove out of the parking lot about a block south, and I pulled over because I was just I just wanted to compose myself.
Mattson is running for local office in Chicago, but has fallout his standing with the National Log Cabin Republicans, a conservative LGBT advocacy group, has been terminated.
Wait. Log Cabin Republican. Now, again, I've been putting, I've been putting these videos up on YouTube when I talk about Republicans and how they go about their business mistreating a lot of minority groups, right? And the Log Cabin Republicans are like, you know, it's funny to me when you hear about Log Cabin Republicans, it's almost as if like, yo, it's like chickens voting for Colonel Sanders, right? It makes absolutely no sense. Chickens be like, yeah, man, Colonel Sanders is down for us. Like, nah, Colonel Sanders wants to kill all of y'all and eat your wings, man. Real talk. That's kind of what a Log Cabin Republican is. Because the policies of the Republican Party are against what a lot of LGBT people are for. It makes no sense to be a Republican and also be a person of, you know, the LGBTQ. At least it doesn't make much sense to me. It doesn't make much sense to a lot of people, right? So here is one considered minority pushing down on another said minority or a person of another minority group. He's calling the police on a person for using a coupon. Now, you see him trembling in this video. He's trembling. I'm wondering if it's because maybe he has Tourette's, maybe he has some sort of neurological issue and it's causing him to tremble in that way. Or maybe he's nervous because, like, y'all, man, I just, I might have just fucked this up. I could have just said, you know what, this coupon isn't any good. You know, you have a nice day. He called the fucking cops. He called the cops. It's like white folks are calling the cops as if the police are a customer service line. Like, yeah, I got some niggers here. Yeah, I got some niggers. I like to report some niggers. Yes, I like to report these niggers. They look like they're living their lives. Okay. Yeah, they look like they're living their lives. And they look like they're fucking enjoying it. Okay. And this could really get out of hand. And I need you to send a unit over absolutely quickly. Okay. I'm going to be here. My name's Trevor. Trevor Trebakowitz. Yes. Trevor Trebakowitz. It's about 5 niggers. One of them looks like he's about 6'5", plays basketball. Another one's about 5'7". He's a little stocky. He may be like a fullback or something on a high school team. Yeah. They're having fun. Uh-huh. Okay. Just send a unit really, really quickly. This could get out of hand. They're having a lot of fun. Okay. They're just living their lives, but God damn it, we can't have that. All right. That's what it seems like. It seems like they're having a lot of, like, they're treating the police as if the police are the customer service unit for life, right? And so what ends up happening is, man, like, when they get blasted like this, you can tell he's already scared because, like, man, I might have just fucked this up. There should be fines, man. They should be paying fines for this sort of shit. Like, for wasting the police's time. Like, dude, I believe if they did, like, really make these people pay fines, we would probably see less of this sort of thing happening. But black people or people of color, period, not being able to just exist. You know, you can't play fucking basketball. And we're going to talk about this story here in a second. But you can't play basketball while being black. You can't shop while being black. You can't sell cigarettes while being black. You can't cut grass while being black. You can't rent property while being black. You can't pick up packages for your friends while being black. You can't do a motherfucking thing while being black in this nation without some white person feeling that if you're doing something suspicious, living your life, right? So, yeah, man, I believe they say he was fired. Let's listen to this more of the story.
CVS launched an investigation and took swift action against Mattson and another employee involved. They no longer work for CVS. And David, as for that coupon that started it all, the manufacturer confirms tonight it was legitimate. David?
And the shit was even...
Paula Ferris with us. Paula, thank you.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, man. Look, good news, man. They fired his ass. Good deal. They fired his punk ass. But, yeah, man, that's going on, right? So let's go into another story, man. We were just talking about this, and this is this shit's a little bit crazy, But yeah, a Virginia man called the cops on a basket after being screened in a basketball game, man. So we're going to read the story here. This comes out of Deadspin.com. It says a man called the police during a pickup basketball game after getting knocked to the floor by a hard pick at the LA Fitness in Sterling, Virginia yesterday. Pictured in the perfect tweet below are the police officer, the man who set the screen, and the double in the double shooting sleeves, late stage mellow get up, and the man who was knocked down by the screen, black shirt, arms folded. Okay, so they're doing a little bit of editorializing there. It says, everyone at the gym and the dude in the black with the hands folded falls from a hard pick. He gets up, tells everyone he's going to call the police, and walks out, leaving everyone in the gym confused. We thought he was joking until we saw a buddy at the front desk on the phone really calling the police. Shooting Sleeves was not the one who called the police. He was the screener, not the screenee. The cop finally comes and brings him out of the gym to talk. It was like an elementary school fight. You could tell he was blown because his time was wasted. The cop leaves, and we're still wondering why. Thomas Maluba, 28, told Deadspin that he witnessed the lead-up to the screen heard around the world while waiting for the next pickup game. He had pushed him in the back before, so he got hit with a hard screen at the top of the key and flew to the ground, got up, and walked out of the door. He went to the front desk and called the cop and waited for him, then walked back in and sat down. Maluba also conducted some fantastic interviews with bystanders and the perplexed cop. Okay, we're not going to do all that. But yeah, man, you playing basketball, and in a routine basketball play, you get knocked on your ass. It's bound to happen. It's happened to the best of us, including your man Span. And I had the wind knocked out of me a couple times on a real nice, hard screen, right? You call the cops, though? You call the police because you got knocked on your ass while playing a game? Again, customer service is what they look at these police like. Hey, come handle this nigger for me. That's what it is for them. That's what it is. So yeah, man, fucking proud to be an American. Proud to be a fucking American. So yeah, we pretty much run through most of our stuff tonight, man, but we got some listener feedback. So let's get into our listener feedback. We got some comments that I need to address. We also got some emails that I need to get to. So as a matter of fact, let me do this. I'm gonna do the emails first. I'm not gonna do the YouTube comments just yet. I'm gonna do the emails first. So let me see if I can pull this up. Here we go. All right. So this email here comes from Reggie. Oh, shit, Reggie, I ain't heard from him in a minute. It says, what's up, Span? It's been a long time since I wrote in, but I haven't stopped listening, man. Great job on expanding and getting another show popping. I like that beer and chicken show too. But I was wondering if you saw this. I was wondering if you saw this video where a guy claims to break down all the problems with black culture. Only thing is, he's white. I was wondering, does he have a point and folks are missing it because he's white? Or is it just more run-of-the-mill racism? What do you think? Okay. So let's see what this video is about. Reggie then sent to us. I hope this ain't no bullshit, Reggie. I hope this ain't no bullshit, Reggie. He said it's a video. This goes to Facebook. Okay, so let me see if I can screenshot this here. Well, not screenshot it. I mean screen share, so you guys can watch along with your boy. All right. And let's go, computer. Let's act like we're trying to do something here. Okay, here it is. Here it is. Got too many damn tabs open up, y'all.
African American communities in this nation are disproportionately failing, and it's not because of systemic racism, and it's not because of a lack of privilege. It's because there's problems within the culture. There's a cultural issue happening from within the black community that needs to be corrected.
Okay. Right off the top, yeah, this is a problem. This is a problem. One, I'm not really about to listen to a white dude, or I'm not even about to really give a whole hell of a lot of credence to a white dude who starts his video off saying that black people's culture is what's wrong with their predicament. Like, the way that black people are inherently, their culture is what's wrong, and this is what's wrong with their predicament, their culture. Already he is removing white supremacy out of this equation. Already he's removing systemic racism out of this equation. Already he's removing everything that was put in place to kind of help along with where black people are in this country, right? He's kind of removing black people, white people's, kind of removing their responsibility in this, right? So off top, I got a problem with that. The second part is, yeah, it is a white guy, and he's talking about, yo, this is what's wrong with them blacks. That'll never get you, like, kudos from me, right? I'm never going to be like, oh, yeah. Fuck out of here. But I'm gonna keep on with this, man.
Why does 13% of the population, which is black, cause over 50% of the murders in this nation?
Actually, and we've seen this, black people are 13% of the population. We've seen that black communities are over-policed. We see that in Detroit. We see that in Chicago. We see that in Newark, New Jersey. We see that in New Orleans. We see that in New York. We see that all over this country where black people are over-policed, right? These are probably just the people who are arrested for crimes. If you look at the uniform crime reports from the FBI, most of the violent crime that's happening in America is perpetuated by white people. However, we don't have the national conversation about what about white on white crime. Why are over 86% of white people killed by other white people? Why are white men more likely to rape anyone else in this country? Why are white men more predisposed to mass shootings than any other race in this country? Why are these things happening? Like, we don't have these national conversations about the predicament of white men and why they do what they do. But we do have these conversations about black people when it comes to the crime that's happening within those communities. When real talk, it's only a racist talking point because we don't have this conversation about any other race of people but black people. We don't. And we don't talk about how the ways in which the police are policing our neighborhoods as opposed to the way they do more affluent neighborhoods. That's not the national conversation. It's always stemmed upon how poor black people are acting in these neighborhoods where they have no economic opportunities most times. There's no economic opportunity there. I talked just last week about the students in Detroit having to sue the state of Michigan, the governor, for their lack of, I'm drawing a fucking blank, that we don't have a right to literacy. A federal judge ruled they don't have a right to literacy. These things disproportionately affect black and brown people, disenfranchised black and brown people, low income black and brown people. This is a systemic issue. So if they aren't educated, if they don't have the skills, and they don't have the skills to therefore provide for themselves legally, guess what happens? You have a little bit more crime happening in lower income areas. It's part of what happens all over the place in lower income areas. It's not just black people, but we'll continue.
Why does that happen? Why is the single parenthood rating in the black community upwards of 70%, significantly higher than any other ethnic group? And why is it that?
Okay, we can talk about this here too. 70% of black women are single parents, right? That's a statistic that gets thrown around a lot. You even hear a lot of brothers talk about that shit because they do it in a way to talk shit about sisters, right? That 70% of black women or 70% of black children are born to a single family household, right? What they don't tell you is that, well, first of all, you should know this, but single means you ain't married, right? You dating, you ain't married. Y'all talking, you ain't married. Y'all been together for a while. You ain't married. Y'all roommates, you ain't married. All that means is you're not married. That does not mean that all of these kids, that does not mean that 70% of black kids don't have both of their parents involved in their lives in some way. And that's the rub. So if you can tell if you can just break, put out a number, well, 70% of black children are born to a single parent home, and not take into account that black fathers tend to be more involved in their children's lives despite the fact that they're not always in the home, doesn't mean that they're not involved. Just doesn't mean that they live with their kids. Doesn't mean that they're not involved. It doesn't even mean that they have, like, there's a lot more nuance to these situations than the statistics will give you. But if you went with just 70% of black kids are born to single parent households, that doesn't mean that their parents are not involved. It doesn't mean that their parents aren't even together. Like, it's a whole lot of folks who look at the whole marriage institution as like draconian. A whole lot of folks like, hey man, we've been together forever. Why I gotta get married? And there's a lot of legal lot of legal reasons as to why you probably should. But yo, it's a lot of people who are together, who have children together, who aren't married, and it doesn't mean that they're not raising their children together. But again, this is coming from a white dude. This is a white dude talking about the problems of the black community. So I'm still just like, whatever, dude.
Approximately 95% of all black homicides are committed by other black individuals. It's really
the same reason that why, like, most white people are likely to be killed by another white person, dude. People commit crimes around the people they are, amongst the people they're around. You are more likely to die at the hands of another white person the same way I'm more likely to die at the hands of another black person if I was to be killed by anybody. Same for you. But that's another racist talking point that always gets thrown out. It's actually not original at all.
Easy to point the finger and say, it's not my fault. It's systemic racism keeping us down. It's the fact that we don't have privilege is the reason why we're not succeeding. No, that's not the reason you're not succeeding. It's the fact that you have some problems in your culture that are bringing your people down and you need to correct them. Was America more...
I'm about to listen to this 20-year-old white dude talk about this. Black culture is the reason why black people are fucked up. Are you fucking serious right now?
Racist now than it was in 1960, because all of these stats have greatly increased within the greatest time period for civil rights. The answer is no, we're not more racist now than it was in 1960, but for some reason we have more problems. These problems have nothing to do with racism and everything to do with the culture within the black community. And more specifically, what I want to attribute all these problems to, or a majority of these problems to, is the music that this culture produces.
Wait. Is he going back to black? He about to make this about rap music. He's about to make this. Okay. I'm going to entertain this a little bit more.
The black culture produces. It's undeniable that one of the biggest influencers in our society today is the music industry. So black music, or music that is predominantly listened to and produced by the black community, promotes the objectification of women, the selling and trafficking of drugs, and also gang violence as well as gun violence. You don't believe me? Let me just quote some of the most popular songs.
Hold on. Okay. I'm going to indulge you here for a second. Excuse me. He says that black music, hip-hop mostly, rap music in particular, is some of the most violent music, some of the most misogynistic music, some of the most, we would say, problematic music in like pop culture right now, right? Popular, really, really, really popular genre of music, right? Here's the rub. As popular as hip-hop is, as big as hip-hop is, guess who is the biggest consumer of hip-hop music? Of rap music. The biggest consumer of all of that has been white folks, and it has been since the early 1990s. So, if you believe that hip-hop or rap is responsible for what's happening in the hood, then you have to explain to me then why aren't white people the same way? Like, why aren't we examining white people the same way, since they're the biggest consumers of this? They're the biggest consumers of this music. It isn't black people, unless, of course, you want to say that black people are inherently violent, that black people are inherently predisposed to using illegal drugs and involving themselves in criminal behavior. Or is it that the way that we look at how white pathology is a little bit skewed, it's a little bit different? When was the last time you heard anybody ask, what was the music that the latest mass shooter was listening to? Was he listening to Marilyn Manson? Was he listening to Ozzy Osbourne? Was he listening to Creed or something? Do we do that? Like, we never say, you know, it was fucking Ozzy's fault that some dude went up into a movie theater and shot the fucker up. We never say that it's, you know, that incel dude that went up and shot up all those people because he couldn't get any sex and he was mad at the women for giving up the sex to somebody else and he was mad at the dudes for getting sex and he couldn't get none. Do we go through his playlist on Spotify and say, well, this is the reason why he was responsible for all of this shit? Or even when we think about the heroin epidemic, it's a public service, it's a public health crisis. We don't look at it as if we're going to continue this war on drugs on these white folks for getting high off heroin or even on crystal meth. We don't look at the music they're listening to and say that this is the reason why they're doing this shit. We say, nah, man, it's a public health crisis. And we need help here. They need treatment. They don't need to be incarcerated. Totally different way in which we flipped that around when it came to the crack epidemic of the 90s and the early 2000s. So, yeah, I'm done with this, man. I'm not about to subject myself to any more of this shit whatsoever. Yeah, man, that's racist as fuck. That's racist as fuck. I'm surprised you even needed my... did you really need my perspective on that one? I'm pretty sure you're a pretty sharp guy, Reggie. I'm pretty sure you didn't really need my perspective on that one, but that's racist as fuck. Some 20-year-old white kid talking about the problems of the black community, and he's gonna break it all the way down to hip-hop music, man. Fuck out of here, dude. But I appreciate you writing in, Reggie. Hope everything's all right with you, and I hope to hear from you again soon, man. Real talk. We also got some YouTube comments here. So I'm going to read from... some of these YouTube comments. And yo, man, they ain't really been that kind to your boy, man. They ain't been that kind to you, man. So remember, like I said, last week we talked about the Republican judge, I think his name was Stephen Murphy III. He ruled that in a case where the Detroit public schools or students of the Detroit public schools were suing the state and they were suing the governor of Michigan, Rick Snyder, for the fact that, like, yo, their school was subpar, and the judge in that case ruled that these students don't have a right to literacy, right? So I took a clip of the Span Report from last week. I put that on YouTube, and we got a few comments from that, man. I named the video Republican Judge Literacy Is Not a Right hashtag walk away, right? Because of course we know that hashtag walk away thing is supposed to be about a whole bunch of people walking away from the Democratic Party and running to the Republican Party and everything else, right? So we got a few comments here. One of the comments we got here says, laughing out loud, well, that's what you Democrat votes get wanting when you support. Wait, first of all, this motherfucker can't spell, so let me slow down and try to read this. That's what you Democrat votes get wanted when you support big governments, more corruption, more terrible results from the department on big government handouts, more of none of the non-informed. Non-informed. I'm gonna need y'all to like really learn how to spell. Racists vote with their own self-interest, and the Democrats, the left, are always going to feed that addiction. Okay, so first things first, when it comes to what happened in the city of Detroit and the Department of Education, what they were suing for was the fact that at the time, the Department of Education's, the school board in Detroit was null and void. There was no Detroit voting going on for the school board at that particular point in time. As a matter of fact, Rick Snyder had appointed not one, but two emergency managers to not only manage the books of the Detroit public schools, but also he made every decision as far as finances were concerned when it came to what got funded and what didn't for the Detroit public schools. That was by a Republican governor who appointed an emergency manager. He appointed an emergency financial manager, right? He had the final say on everything. What that decision did was it nullified the power of the people of the city of Detroit to self-determine what they wanted to do with their own school district. And so while they were dealing with the emergency financial manager that was appointed by the Republican governor, Rick Snyder, that Republican is who they were suing because it was the decisions of that Republican governor and his emergency managers, Robert Bob And it was another guy. I forget his other. Let me see. I forget his name. I had it on the tip of my tongue earlier. I can't think of his guy's name right now. But there were two. There were two emergency financial managers appointed over the Detroit Public Schools, and they both made financial decisions on behalf of the city of Detroit, on behalf of the Detroit Public Schools, and those who were sending their kids to those schools had no say whatsoever in how those schools were ran, because the law as it states right now allows for the governor to appoint anybody he wants to take over that school district or to take over that municipality and make financial decisions for that particular entity. So it wasn't that the Democrats voted for that. No, Republicans dictated that to those students. And as a result, a lot of those students have subpar educations. And the fact that you went there as opposed to looking at the Republican governor, I'm sorry, the judge who made the ruling that United States citizens don't have a right to literacy is fucking mind blowing. You as an American don't have a right to literacy. And barely, I guess, like, judging by the way you wrote this comment, I guess you really aren't much literate either, you know? Like, it was really hard to read what the fuck it is you wrote, because a lot of misspellings, a lot of grammatical errors. You probably need to go back to school. Just saying. Another comment here on that particular video says, you do know the poor are the ones who have to deal with illegal immigrants, right? Again, this is another talking point of the right. Yo, truth be told, man, when it comes to supposedly illegals coming into this country, many of them are looking to better their lives in much the same way that those who are in lower class socioeconomic situations want to come up as well. You can't look at those people as competition. You look at those people as part of a coalition to come up with along the way. But if you subscribe yourself to this thing, well, I got mine and I have to make sure that I keep mine, therefore no one else can get theirs, and, you know, I'm really just gonna, like, kind of fuck you. You know, kind of fuck you. Because truth be told, man, like, a lot of these people, a lot of these people are coming to this country to escape much harsher situations that they're dealing with at home. And if we're supposed to be this land of the free, home of the brave, then how do we look trying to deny people the American dream that we brag about being so great? How you gonna go, you going across the world telling everybody how great your country is, but you don't want nobody to come see for themselves how great your country is? It's kind of an oxymoron. So, yeah. And I think that was the same person that left that comment. Man, yeah, fuck you. Another comment here that says, how in the hell could this suit be dismissed? The public school unions have unimaginable power. More than 85 cents of every tax dollar goes directly to teachers and administrators. That leaves 0.5% per kid in the classroom. Well, if you really believe that, right? If you really believe that, we've seen all across this country right to work gut a lot of the power that the unions do have. Right to work is the ability for people to gain benefits that were negotiated through the union while not paying for them. So if the union was actually able to negotiate these terms, then we wouldn't be in this particular predicament. Because if you actually look at the right now, 10% of public workers are unionized, down from over 48%, not even 10 years ago. Not even 10 years ago. So over 48%. They're down to 10%. And a lot of the right to work laws that have spread across the country are the result of that. So you can believe that the unions are what's sucking up all the money, but that's not the case. Truth be told, we're spending less money than we had been on education. We're taking a lot of money out of our education budget and putting it in our defense budget. Ask the Department of Defense how many planes they're having built that they've already told the White House that we don't really need this shit. They told the Congress we don't really need this shit, but we getting the money. They giving the money anyway. So yeah, That's going on. It says, really, we spend the most money in education in the world. Do your research. Maybe the teacher union pension pay soak up the education fund. True. Y'all really mad at the people who are trying to teach your kids? Y'all mad at them? Are y'all... This country is going to hell in a handbasket. Y'all mad at the teachers? People who... I'm saying, man, that's a special motherfucking position, man. Teachers are like, yo, like, you look at these people as if they're supposed to babysit your kids, man. They there with you those teachers 8 hours a day. They're some of the most influential people your kids will be around for most of their lives. I remember a lot of the teachers in my life, man. I remember them all to this day. Well, the more influential ones anyway, the ones that were my favorite. Some of the mean ones, like, you know, I was like, some of y'all might be mean teachers. I don't know. But it's weird, like, listening to y'all attack teachers and attack administrators for trying to do good for your fucking kids. For trying to make sure that your kids get an adequate education. And for suing on behalf of your kids so that they can be fucking literate and they have the tools that they need. And they this shit is crazy. This shit is crazy. Oh my God. Man, this country is going to fucking hell, man. Oh my God. Oh man, that's fucking nuts. We got another there's another video, man, that we got a bunch of comments on. Where is it? Okay, here's another one. This says, this one here is from Angie Milligan. Okay. Angie Milligan says, your ignorance blows my mind. Not all white people are racist. I never said that. Excuse me. It says Republicans are racist. It says not all Republicans are racist. I never said that. Not all black people are non-racist. I never said that. And not all Democrats are non-racist. I never said that. I'm confused. What should the Republican Party have done for the black community? Should they have fought to end slavery? Check. Should the Republicans have fought for civil rights for all and against the KKK? Check. It's almost like black Democrats are suffering from Stockholm syndrome. Black people that are Republican think of themselves as Americans first instead of their skin color. I hope that groupthink works out for you, though. Okay. So, I want Angie Milligan, and I doubt she ever really listens to this, but I want people like Angie Milligan to do me a favor. Can you point to any Republican policy position right now that actively benefits the black community in any meaningful way? Can you do that? Like, I really would like for you guys to, like, figure out one of the policy procedures over the course of the last 50 years that Republicans were like, you know what? We really need to do something to help this black community out if we really want to court their votes. Right. Because, like I said before, you know, like I said, I believe I said this last week, when LBJ signed the Fair Housing Act of 19, the Fair Housing Act, the Civil Rights Act, and the Voting Rights Act. During that particular time, there were a lot of Democrats who were against that, right? A lot of Democrats who were against that. And there were a lot of Republicans who were for that, right? And it was at that particular moment where a lot of Democrats who were a little bit perturbed with what LBJ had brought in motion. Like, why would he sign that? Why would he do this? Right. And in the South, LBJ himself said, I believe that we may have lost the South for a generation. Right. And a lot of Democrats became Dixiecrats. And slowly but surely, a lot of those Dixiecrats became Republicans. Right. Now, the next Republican president after LBJ, right, because LBJ was a Democratic president. Democratic president, he was, I believe he left office in 1968. The next Republican president was Richard Milhouse Nixon, right? Now, Richard Milhouse Nixon, we all know Richard Milhouse Nixon for being the dude who broke into the DNC, had people breaking into the DNC to go steal some information. It sounds really motherfucking familiar right now, don't it? The whole Watergate shit, That was Richard Nixon shit. And we, like, if you look at, like, historically, man, like, Richard Nixon was on some treasonous shit a long time. Like, when it comes to that Vietnam War, and he, like, kind of scuttled a lot of negotiations to end the Vietnam War only for political purposes to help him get to the White House, where he actively engaged in scuttling negotiations with the North Vietnamese so that he could be the person to call himself ending the Vietnam War as a candidate for the White House. Richard Milhouse Nixon did that, right? Richard Milhouse Nixon also had operatives breaking into the DNC at the Watergate building, right? So Richard Nixon, Republican president, Republican candidate for president, actively engaged in, he actively engaged in some real predatory politics when it came to black people and when it came to the, what we would call the liberal left, right? So, Let's do some fact checking here, y'all. Let's do some of that, you know, because we all about the facts here, man. Where is my story? Where was this? Because I know I read this, and I saved it. I know I saved it. Here we go. And this is actually out of Harper's. Okay, this is out of Harper's, and it says Nixon's intervention of the war on drugs as a political tool was cynical, but every president. Wait. Let me go back. At the time I was writing a book about the politics of drug prohibition, I started to ask Ehrlichman a series of earnest, wonky questions that he impatiently waved away. Wait, I'm too far up. Okay. I'm too far up. Where was it? Dun, 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 dun. Damn it, I had my little roll going. And now I'm like bogged down. But I gotta find my point. Where is it? Okay, here it is. Since at the time I was writing a book about the policies of drug prohibition, I started to ask Ehrlichman a series of earnest, wonky questions that he impatiently waved away. You wanna know what this was really all about? He acts with the bluntness of a man who, after public disgrace and a stretch in federal prison, had little left to protect. The Nixon campaign in 1968 and the Nixon White House after that had two enemies: the anti-war left, the people who were trying to stop the fucking war in Vietnam, and black people. You understand what I'm saying? We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or to be black, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin, and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did. Okay? Now this is the Republican president right after the Democratic president of the United States signed the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and the Fair Housing Act, right? The very first Republican president after that made it his mission to criminalize black people, to start the official war on drugs, which disproportionately arrested a whole shit ton of black people. But I'm really waiting for a lot of you, whether you're black Republican, whether you're a white Republican, you keep telling me about the Civil War. Damn it, that was over 100 years ago. You keep telling me about the KKK. Most of the people who are voting in the KKK now vote for the Republican Party. David Duke ran as a Republican for not only governor, but president of the United States as a Republican. Former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan right now endorses Donald fucking Trump. So excuse me if I don't fucking give you kudos for some shit, or don't kiss your ass, or don't embrace the Republican Party, because I recognize what the fucking Republican Party is doing right now. Miss me with this shit that they did 100 years ago. I wasn't here. Many of the people who are dealing with the shit that's going on right now was not here. And we're voting on issues as of right now. So, yeah. Angie, I think you need to do a little bit more reading. I think you should also look into a little bit more of this history as to why black people overwhelmingly vote for the Democratic Party. Not because they're in love with the Democratic Party, only because, truth be told, the Republican Party has never given them a reason to vote for them since the 60s. So, do yourself a favor and you do that. All right? So, yeah, that's all for our YouTube comments, man. But we're about to get on up out of here. But, of course, before we do, we got to do this, y'all.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
It's our ass hat of the week this week, man. And our ass hat of the week this week is the I'm Not Those Other Negroes niggas. Right? And y'all know who the I'm Not Those Other Negroes niggas are. Many of them are black Republicans now. Many of them are black Republicans, but also many of them go out of their way to criticize other black people who are trying to move the ball forward on a socio-political plane. They're social activists who are bringing attention to the issues that are going on in the community, who are trying to come up with ways, trying to come up with answers and solutions as to ways in which a lot of these problems can be mitigated, right? And the reason why I'm calling the I'm Not Like Those Other Negroes niggas the ass hats of the week this week is because there was a shooting in Chicago. A man was shot by the city of Chicago. Well, he was shot by the Chicago police, right? And, you know, when he was shot, you know, folks in the city were upset about it. Folks in the city mobilized. They demonstrated. They expressed their discontent with the police shooting down another black man, right? And you saw, you know, eventually the Chicago police, they kind of hurry up and they put out the body cam footage of the altercation between that dude and the police. And the dude had what appeared to be two guns on him. He attempted to run away from the police. At one point, it looked as if he was reaching for the guns that were on him. He was supposedly he supposedly had a firearms owner's ID card, right? I'm not sure if he was licensed to carry concealed in Chicago. But he was gunned down, right? And after that video came out, there was a contention of folks who were talking about, like, well, looks like a good shoot. Looks like y'all was out here demonstrating for nothing. Looks like y'all was out here making fools of yourselves. Police did their job, right? And there's a certain contingent of the population who can't wait for those types of moments. Who can't wait for the one time they get to say that I'm not like y'all niggas. I'm not going to be out there demonstrating. I'm not going to be out there rioting. I'm not going to be out there raising my voice. I'm not going to be out there doing all of that. Y'all doing too much, right? And these same contingent of people will then go and say, in the hood, when somebody gets shot in the hood, y'all not this upset. Y'all not rioting when, you know, Pookie shoot Ray Ray. It's actually the whole black on black crime thing, right? The same thing this white dude that we were just talking about earlier was talking about, the cultural problem with black people. Some black people buy into that bullshit. Some black people buy into the respectability politics. They buy into the black on black crime talking point. They buy into that shit hook, line, and sinker. They fall for it every time. And they couldn't wait to say, like, if the minute somebody else got shot in Chicago, they couldn't wait to say, well, where y'all demonstration for that right there? And the interesting thing about that was that not even a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Father Michael Fliger was leading a anti-gun violence rally demonstration in Chicago that stopped traffic on the Dan Ryan Expressway. And these same silly motherfuckers were saying, why they gotta block up the expressway? I got someplace to go. Y'all, what if my grandma had to use the ambulance and she had to go to St. Bernard Hospital? What y'all gonna do then if she don't get there? These same niggas, like, I understand that, like, everybody is not going to see everything the same way. I understand that everybody has their own perspective. I get that. But when you ask for a certain thing, like attention being brought to the attention being brought to the crime that's going on in the city, and there have been demonstrations for that very reason, where certain Greek letter organizations have had rallies, have had demonstrations, have actively searched for shooters in certain crimes. I'm not in Chicago, so I don't see all of this shit. I hear about it because I got friends that's still there. But when I see some of y'all act as if this stuff isn't happening, act as if that there aren't any people engaged in trying to curb what's going on in the neighborhoods, and then when they do that, you still got something to say. In order for you to feel like you're not a part of what the hell's going on, like you're above what's going on in these neighborhoods, like you're better than what's going on in these neighborhoods, like you don't come from these same environments and you don't understand why these situations happen the way that they do, I kind of look at you with a little bit of the side eye, man. And today you an asshat to me. Y'all are the asshats of the week. This week here at the Spare Report Podcast. Real talk. Do better. Stop denigrating the people who are actively out there doing the fucking work that your ass ain't out there doing. Yeah. So, yeah, those are our asshats. But we do got a champ. All right, our champ this week here at the Spare Report Podcast is Barack Obama. Yeah, man, Barack Obama. His presidency is looking better and 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 better every fucking day, man. Real talk. My man Rod said something about, you know, they elected Trump to undo Barack Obama's legacy, but by electing Trump, they've done nothing but burnish it. Like, they've done nothing but enhance his legacy because of the way Trump has conducted himself in this office. And he couldn't have been more right, man. Donald Trump couldn't be as nowhere near as classy as what Barack Obama was and is as a president or as a former president. And how the fuck am I confusing these? Barack Obama was over in South Africa. He was speaking at a commemoration of Nelson Mandela's 100th birthday. And while he was speaking, he made a few comments as to what's going on in politics in the world and in the United States. And he didn't even have to say Donald Trump's name. But we knew who he was talking about. We knew who he was talking about, dog. But here's what Barack Obama had to say about the current state of politics in America and going and really growing across the world. So let me pull this video up, see if we can share this here. And looks like my computer's taking a shit.
Unfortunately, too much of politics today seems to reject the very concept of objective truth. People just make stuff up. They just make stuff up. We see it in the growth of state-sponsored propaganda. We see it in internet-driven fabrications. We see it in the blurring of lines between news and entertainment. We see the utter loss of shame among political leaders where they're caught in a lie and they just double down and they lie some more. Politicians have always lied, but it used to be if you caught them lying, they'd be like, oh man. Now they just keep on lying. They just.
All right. So, yeah, man, it's the truth. It's the truth. And on that note, we are out of here. But of course, before we go, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Spare Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them here on the show. Respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespareport.com. That's feedback@thespareport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, I'll read those emails here live and respond to those here as well. You can also hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there and chop it up with your boy throughout the week. Hit us up on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio with those 5-star reviews, man. We read those 5-star reviews here live on the show. We appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. Also, hit up the Spare Report Podcast Network store on TeePublic, man. The link will be in the show notes. You can go there, get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself some coffee mugs or some, mouse pads. You know, we got some stuff over there. Go ahead and get yourself some merch, man, of not only the Spare Report Podcast, but of the Beer and Chicken Podcast as well. And for all of your Spare Report needs, go to www.thespanreport.com. Everything's available there. Watch the show, vote in the polls, leave comments, donate to the show. Everything is available at thespanreport.com, man. But about to get up out of here, and I will talk to you guys again soon. So until next time, fam, peace.